Let's turn in our Bibles then to Mark chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 40 to 45. And it says, "Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once, and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them.' However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely, and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places. And they came to him from every direction." Well, let's just bow our heads. Let's pray, shall we? Gracious Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to be able to open your word so freely and without restriction. Lord, it's a privilege we have in this country still. And Lord God, we don't take it for granted, because we realize that there are many places in the world where brothers and sisters can't do what we are doing this evening. They would dearly love to be able to meet with other believers and to share your word publicly, be able to go into the streets even and preach it, but they can't because of the regime or the restrictions that they're placed under. But here we are, we live in a country where we have these freedoms still. Sad thing is, many of your people, it would appear, don't really value that. But Lord God, we do, and we thank you that we can look into your word, and your word is truth, even as we heard earlier from Bella's answer to a question at school, that this is the word of God, a God who cannot lie. And Lord, we absolutely agree with her on that. And so we pray that, Lord, as we consider your word together this evening and consider the gospel contained in this passage, that, Lord, you will come by your Holy Spirit and move upon this written word, upon our hearts and minds, and speak to us, we ask, both speaker and hearer alike. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Don't intend preaching for very long this evening. But I just love these passages in the Gospels where you have Jesus healing someone, whether it's of leprosy or whether it's of deafness, whether it's of blindness, a lame man, whatever it is, Jesus healing the sick. And I don't know about you, but I don't think that is there just to show that Jesus has power to heal the sick, although clearly it does show that. I've said before, and I'll say it again, I'm convinced that every single healing that we read, every single miracle that Jesus did, he did it not just to show his power, but he did it to teach us something. And I think in this incredible, this amazing healing of this man with leprosy, this not only shows us the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to do something that was and still is impossible, it also teaches us something. And as I was looking at this passage earlier, it struck me that one of the surprising things here is that it tells us that this leper came to him, imploring him. The leper came to him. And I looked at the parallel passage in Luke chapter 5. I think the passage there is from verse 12 to 15. And I'm assuming that passage is dealing with the same event. There don't seem to be any reason to take it otherwise. And Luke tells us it was whilst he was in one of the cities that this leper came to him, imploring him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me." And I think that's quite amazing. Because you see, lepers were not allowed to wander around freely. If somebody had leprosy, they were excluded and made to live outside of the city, usually in a leper colony. That's where lepers were placed. And in fact, Luke tells us that this man was full of leprosy. In other words, this man had leprosy in the advanced stages of that disease. So in other words, he would look and he would smell and he would, you know, he would sound like a leper. He wasn't somebody in the early stages, and it couldn't quite be determined whether he was or he wasn't, This man was full of leprosy, and yet he's there in the city, and he comes to Jesus and says, Lord, if you're willing, you can heal me. That's quite amazing, because lepers were kept separate. And I imagine whoever was with Jesus were thinking to themselves, whoa, stay away. Because they were frightened to death, you see, of contracting leprosy. But this man, despite his condition, comes to Jesus and implores him. And I think there's a picture, you see, of something here. Let's think about leprosy and what leprosy does to a person, how leprosy as a disease progresses within a person and the effects that it has upon a person. Turns out that leprosy begins with pain in certain areas of the body. You can't immediately see that person's a leper, but the leprosy begins with pain in certain parts of the body. And then that's followed by numbness in those areas of the body where the leprosy has begun to strike. Fairly soon, the skin in these areas loses colour and it becomes thick and glossy and scaly. In fact, in Greek, the word lepos simply means scale. So the skin becomes scaly and glossy and thick. And as the disease progresses, thickened spots become dirty sores and ulcers due to poor blood supply. And then the skin, particularly around the ears and the eyes, it begins to bunch with deep furrows between swelling areas. And the face eventually resembles that of a lion. So you've got folds of skin and furrows between the swelling. And in time, fingers and toes drop off, and eyebrows and eyelashes drop out. Leprosy is a progressive disease that gradually starts to affect the whole body. And by the time leprosy is in its advanced stages, they say that you can see it. A person looking at a leprous person in the advanced stages, you can see it. You can see the effects it's had on the body. You can feel it. You can smell it. Because you see, in between the folds of the furrows of skin, the body begins to smell. You can smell it. You can hear it. Because leprosy affects the person's larynx. So when he speaks with a rasping kind of a voice. You can hear it. And they say that you even imagine you can taste it. If you're amongst lepers, you imagine, because you can see it and hear it and smell it, you imagine you can actually taste it too. In other words, all the senses of a person looking upon one who is in the advanced stages of leprosy, all the senses are affected. It's contagious, although not as many thought. Nevertheless, it was, and that's why people were separated. It is contagious. There was no cure, although today many types of leprosy can be cured. In fact, I've got a leaflet somewhere says it's only since the 1940s that actually some medical treatment has been available for leprosy. Up until then, there was absolutely no cure. Certainly in the time of Jesus, there was no cure. So leprosy as a disease was really feared by people and has been down the centuries. Oh, lords, yeah. Countless thousands of people throughout the world have leprosy today. And it always has been a disease that is feared by people. And that for all sorts of reasons. For obviously because of the progressive debilitating nature of the disease, and also because of the social stigma that it creates and the isolation. People are separated from the community, made to live in leper colonies. So there's isolation and there's misery that is involved in that lifestyle. It's like a living hell. If anybody's ever seen that film, I know I refer to it from time to time, the original film Ben-Hur with Charlton Heston, you'll remember that is it his mother, I think? is sent to, she becomes a leper. And Ben-Hur goes looking for her, and he finds her in this leper colony. And as he goes about these people, they're obviously in a miserable, miserable condition. That's how it was. It was like a living hell. And of course, for Jewish people, there was another element to all this too. Because you see, according to Jewish law, and it's all there in Leviticus chapters 13 and 14, it talks about leprosy and how leprosy is to be detected and diagnosed, and what to do with it, what to do with a person who has leprosy, and how that leprosy can be cured, and how that person can, if a cure is effected, be restored to society. It's all there in Leviticus chapters 13 and 14. But you see, there were strict rules regarding lepers and their treatment. First of all, they had to be examined by the priest, according to the instructions laid down in Leviticus chapter 13. And then once it had been determined by the priest that that person did indeed have leprosy, then that person was segregated from the community. They were cut off from the social life and the religious life of the community. They were isolated. They were cut off. That's why I'm so surprised that this man here actually comes to find Jesus, and he's actually in a city. Because they were cut off from the social and the religious life of the community. They lived in isolation, wearing mourning clothes, the sort of clothes you would wear at a funeral. And various instructions were given to the priest for dealing with it. And only when the priest had re-examined the person, and if the priest, and only if the priest, affirmed that that leper was now clean, only then could that leper be restored to the religious and social life of the community. Until and unless a priest affirmed that, that person lived in isolation for the rest of the life. Interestingly, the Jewish rabbis considered it as difficult to heal leprosy as raised the dead. That's how they looked at it. In fact, if my memory serves me right, there is only one example in all of the Old Testament of a leper being healed, if my memory serves me right, and that was Naaman the Syrian. I don't think there's any other example of a leper being, I could be wrong, but if my memory serves me right, there's only Naaman, and he was a Syrian, who was healed of leprosy. So although God had given these instructions in the law of what to do with a leper, there's no actual record of any being healed. That isn't to say, incidentally, that there wasn't any. You can't make an argument from silence, but we're not actually told of any, I don't think, other than Naaman. So such was the life for lepers. Miserable, eh? Miserable life they had. And now, I'm not, in saying what I'm about to say, I am not, as it were, spiritualizing this passage in Mark. Jesus actually healed this man. There is no question in my mind. Jesus touched this leper, and immediately, it tells us, his leprosy was cleansed. And remember, he's in the advanced stages of leprosy. His skin is folding on his face. He looks like a lion. Maybe some fingers are... He's in a mess. He's like the people in the Ben-Hur film. He's like that. And Jesus touched him, and immediately the leper... In other words, people looking on would see that man's whole figure, his face, his facial features. They would see that man turn from being a leper to a person whose skin was clean and pure. Like Naaman in the Old Testament. His skin was pure as a baby's, it says, by the time God had healed him. So I'm not disputing the fact that in any way, shape or form that Jesus healed that man. It's just that it seems to me, as I said to begin with, that this was done and this is recorded to teach us something too. You see, leprosy is, in many respects, is like a figure of sin. It sort of represents what sin is and what sin does in the life of the sinner. You see, for example, just as leprosy, to begin with, is hardly even detectable in the person who's contracted it, you can't see it immediately. So it is with the sinner. Baby's born into this world, and he looks perfect, doesn't he? So you look at my newborn baby. Isn't he, isn't she beautiful? Perfect. And she looks perfect. Doesn't she? He. Looks absolutely perfect. But sin is already there. Sin has been passed on from the parents going right back to Adam. Sin is already there. This is not detectable at that point in time. But as time goes by, something is pain. There's pain. The child suffers pain. You know that because he cries or she cries. And then as time goes by and sin progresses, sin begins to work its way through, you find fairly quickly that your perfect little baby is capable of sinning. She's capable of telling a lie. He's capable of telling a lie. And you say to yourself, who did she learn that off? Where did that come from? Where did it come from? It came from sin within. See, it's there already. And we maybe even laugh about it. But actually, if you think about it, something very serious going on within that little child, who otherwise looks perfect in every way. And then as the child grows up and sins more, just as in the case of a leper, what happens is numbness starts to be created in the body. So wherever the leprosy has affected, numbness comes. Actually, that's one reason lepers often lose the fingers, because they may burn them in the fire and not even feel it, and so it goes untreated, and eventually finger falls off or whatever, because there's this numbness and they can't even feel the pain. And so it is with the sinner. As time goes by, child becomes numb towards its own sin. It becomes easier to do it, you see. And then as the child gets older, just as in the case of the leper, those white flakes become dirty sores and ulcers. So sin gets uglier and uglier as life progresses. But the sinner doesn't necessarily feel it for what it really is. As it says in the Epistle to Titus, and chapter 1, verse 15. To the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. So in other words, the more a sinner sins, it may well find that his conscience doesn't even twinge anymore. It's that numbness, you see, that numbing effect. And sin is contagious, as we read a few weeks ago in Romans chapter 1, where it says in verse 30, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who know in the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So people learn new ways to sin. That's what I think is so dangerous about the time that we live in. There's all these films coming out and all these video games coming out, and they're actually teaching people to sin in new ways. Little boy at Wednesday Club the other week was talking, I don't know whether he's telling lies or whether he was boasting or something, but he said, the video games I watch are Certificate 18, and in them you kill people and people swear and all those kinds of things, he was telling me. Teaching little children how to sin. Sin, like leprosy, is contagious. And the thing about sin is, same as leprosy, there's no cure for sin known to man. At least, no cure that comes from man. And it leads to isolation and separation. From God, that is. The sinner becomes separated from God. He's separated, really, from the community of God's people. And sin renders him unclean. You know, lepers in the time of Jesus, they not only had to wear clothes of mourning, but whenever anybody came near them, they were supposed to cry out, unclean, unclean, so people would avoid them. And the sinner, you see, his sin renders him unclean before God. And just as with leprosy in the community of Israel, it was the priest that pronounced him to be unclean, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord himself, pronounces that the sinner is unclean in the sight of God. He's unclean. And they will remain unclean, sinners, and separated from God until he, the high priest, declares them to be clean. And when they're determined to be clean by him, then and only then can they be restored to God and be brought into the community of God's people, where they can take part in all the life and blessings of God's people. So it's a picture, you see, of what sin really is. And as I say, Luke tells us that this man was full of leprosy. This man is in the advanced stages of leprosy. What it means is, it's detectable. You can see, you can tell a mile off. This man's a leper, his body is riddled with it. Yet this is a man who's got his head screwed on the right way, I think. See, he's seeking Jesus. He's seeking Jesus. He's not supposed to be out and about in the community, but this man has heard about Jesus. This man has heard that this Jesus from Nazareth, some are proclaiming him to be the Messiah of Israel. And just as Isaiah in the Old Testament had said that when Messiah comes, he'll open the eyes of the blind, this Jesus has opened the eyes of the blind. Just as Isaiah had prophesied, the deaf will hear, and the good news will be preached to the poor, and the sick will be healed. This man has heard about this, and I think he believes it in his heart. Because he comes seeking for Jesus, even though he knows there's nobody else out there wants him anywhere near them. He's coming looking for Jesus. See, humanity had failed this man completely, in that sense. Humanity had basically turned its back on him completely. Pushed him out, for all the reasons I've just said. But this man came to Jesus, and it says, kneeling before him, he implored him, and he said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You can make me clean. That's his faith. He believes that with all his heart. And so he humbled himself in the presence of the Lord, and he asked the Lord, if you're willing, you can heal me. He believes Jesus can. He's just not so sure if Jesus will. But if you are willing, you can heal me. Now, if you think about it, if the leper had not acknowledged his need, he would not have come to Jesus, would he? If the leper had not believed that Jesus could heal him, he wouldn't have come. And if he'd not come to Jesus asking, he would never have been healed. He would have lived the rest of his life and died a leper. And it's exactly the same for the sinner, isn't it? Unless the sinner acknowledges his need, then he ain't going to come to Jesus. Unless the sinner believes that Jesus has power to forgive sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and restore us to God, and give us a new life, sinner's not going to come. And unless the sinner comes to Jesus, then he can never be saved. He'll remain in his sins the rest of his life, he'll die in his sins, and he'll be separated from God forever. So this man, first of all, he had to acknowledge his need. Now somebody might say, your analogy is a bit ridiculous, Ian, because he obviously couldn't deny his need, could he? You know, Luke tells us he's full of leprosy. He's in the advanced stages of this disease. How could he deny it? Everybody could see he was a leper. Well, I put it to you that apart from the little baby I mentioned earlier, everybody can see that everybody else is a sinner, can't they? You can tell. You don't have to spend too long with somebody to realise that they're a sinner too. The problem is with the sinner acknowledging that themselves. And you know, bizarrely, you know, Paul reminds us sometimes we've been preaching on the open air, and somebody's gone past and said, I've never sinned. I'm not a sinner. Some people have said that. Now, whether they're joking or whether they're serious, I'm not quite sure. But the fact is, we've all sinned. It's just that sometimes the sinner won't acknowledge his own sin. Sometimes he'll say, well, I'm not as bad as him. I'm not as bad as her. As if that makes any difference. Early stages or later stages of the sin disease, we've all got it. And unless the sinner acknowledges his sin, he ain't going to come to Jesus. And unless he believes that Jesus has power to forgive sins, he ain't going to come to Jesus. What the sinner must do is what this man did. Humble himself. He came, he humbled himself, he knelt before the Lord, imploring him, and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can heal me. So what did Jesus say to him? I am willing. Be healed. And immediately, his leprosy was gone. His skin was smooth as a baby's. His leprosy was gone in an instant. And you see, that's a picture of what happens when the sinner humbles himself and comes to Christ and asks Jesus to forgive his sin. That very moment, from Jesus, a pardon he receives, as the hymn writer said. That very moment, God's pardon he receives. Jesus said, all who come to me I will in no wise cast out. Apostle Paul said, this is a true saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. In other words, Paul is saying, I was in the advanced stages of leprous sin, but he saved even me. Therefore, whoever comes to him, he will in no wise cast out. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all unrighteousness. We read it earlier. Jesus touched him. I guess when Jesus touched that leper, if there was a crowd around him, there was a gasp. You don't touch lepers. But Jesus touched him, and the leprosy was gone in an instant. And then Jesus says to him, I love this. Jesus said, see that you say nothing to anyone. So here's a man at advanced stages of leprosy, and his leprosy's suddenly been healed, and Jesus said, don't tell anybody about it. I mean, how do you keep that secret? See, didn't know anyway. Didn't know anyway, wouldn't they? Straight away, they could see this man's changed. But don't say anything to anyone. However, the man went and proclaimed it freely wherever he went. You see, because he was so glad for what Jesus had done for him, he couldn't stop telling everybody. Actually, Jesus said, don't say anything to anyone, but go your way and show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. In other words, do what it says in Leviticus chapter 14. You've got to do that, first of all. Why? Because you see, Jesus came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. That's the first thing. Secondly, I would suggest to you that by this time in Jewish history, there was no priest. And bear in mind, the priests in the time of Jesus were usually Sadducees. And Sadducees didn't believe in miracles, didn't believe in angels, didn't believe in heaven, didn't believe in hell, didn't believe in all that much at all. The Sadducees, that's why they were sad, you see. So I put it to you that there's virtually no priest in Israel who is expecting any leper to get cleansed, despite the fact that they know what Leviticus says. So Jesus said, first go to the priest as a testimony to them. You see, when he went back to the priest who'd actually, perhaps he'd been the priest who'd declared that leper to be leprous in the first place, when he went back to him, fully cleansed of leprosy, the priest was supposed to say to him, dear me, how did that happen? What has happened here? And what the priest should have been thinking was, this must mean Messiah has come. We've never seen this before. And maybe the priest is supposed to think, he's supposed to do a retrack of his Old Testament scriptures and think, I won't remember Naaman. So how did you get healed? And the man's supposed to say, well, this man called Jesus came and touched me and healed me instantly. And the priest is supposed to think, well, must be Messiah then. But you see, the trouble is, these priests were not believers. That was the problem. But Jesus loves them too and says, go, show the priest, so it'll be a testimony to him too. And the man, well, he couldn't stop blabbing it to everybody. So, the conclusion is this. If Jesus healed you of your leprosy, I'm talking about the leprosy of sin, then blab it. Tell people about it. Because it's a miracle, isn't it? There is no cure for sin known to man, but there is to you. It's the Lord Jesus himself. Amen. Let's just close with prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for the power of the Lord Jesus, who can heal the sick, who can turn water into wine, who can feed the 5,000 from 5 loaves and 2 fishes, who could touch a leper and the leper be instantly cleansed. Lord, we've referred to Naaman in the Old Testament. Elisha told him to go and bathe 7 times in the River Jordan. Elisha never even came out of the house. He just sent word via his servant to Naaman. But Jesus came and he touched the leper. And Lord, it seems to me that speaks of the fact that Jesus, the spotless Son of God, came. He came amongst us. He touched us. He walked amongst us. Though we are sinful, though, Lord God, our sins are an offence in your sight, he came to where we are and he touched us. And Lord God, all that he touched, Lord God, all that he touches, Lord God, is cleansed. And Lord, I thank you that, Lord God, there are us in this room tonight who know Jesus as our Saviour. We are amongst those. And Lord God, in that sense, we're no different than the leper, Lord God, and we have a story to tell. So Lord God, help us, Lord God, to share that with joy and with confidence. This leper couldn't stop telling people what Jesus had done for him. And Lord God, I pray that, Lord, we'd have the same attitude, the same mentality, that we want to share with others the good news that Jesus has the power to forgive sins. And so that, Lord God, you are honoured, you are glorified, and your gospel, Lord God, spreads even more. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.